You ever hear people talking about their sin and saying, I couldn't help it? Christian, come on. God's Holy Spirit dwells in you and empowers you. You don't ever have to do it. You can help it. You can always say no. That there's a problem that every Christian battles with. Even the Apostle Paul battled with this one. Here's how Paul puts it in Romans 7, verse 25. With the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The new me, my mind, my spirit, loves God and loves his law. I want to do what is right. But the flesh, that old sinful nature that I'm still stuck with, wants to sin. The flesh always wants to sin. And Paul went on and he said, oh, wretched man that I am, he cried out in frustration, who will deliver me from this body of death? And that's our problem too. But there's an answer. Jesus is the answer. And in the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 8, Paul has been explaining to us just how Jesus is the answer to our problem with the flesh and sin. First, he reminded us that because of Jesus, every Christian is not only forgiven, every Christian is a changed person. We've been changed and we're still changing. Jesus came and lived and died as our representative so that we could be forgiven, but he also came so that we could live righteous lives. So Paul reminded us about that, and then he told us about five amazing things that Jesus' life and death has made possible. Five things that are true of every Christian. Let me remind you of them. Number one, he said, you are in the Spirit. That means you have been born again and you have a new spiritual nature that loves God and loves his law. Yes, the flesh still troubles you with its old sinful ways, but your spirit hates and resists its influence and your spirit has the upper hand. That's the first thing. Number two, he said, God's Holy Spirit dwells in you. He's taken up permanent residence with your spirit to lead you and to make you strong and to give you the power to overcome sin. So now not only does your born-again spirit hate and resist the influence of sin and the flesh, now it has all the wisdom and the power of God, all the wisdom and power it could possibly need to overcome the flesh and sin. Number three, he said, you belong to Jesus. He has bought you and claimed you for his own, and there is nothing that can undo that. So you will go on being in the Spirit, and you will go on being indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you will go on overcoming the flesh. Number four, he said, that Spirit that has been born in you is going to live forever. One day the flesh will die, but the spirit's going to live on, and then the battle will be over. But that's not the whole job done, because number five, one day your spirit is going to have a new, perfect, sin-free body to live in. Spirit and body, one person, totally free of sin, no desire, no temptation to sin ever again, problem solved. Five amazing things that are true, absolutely true, of absolutely every Christian. Five things that Jesus' life and death made possible. That's how Jesus is the answer to your problem with sin and the flesh. He came, he lived, he died as your representative to make those five things possible. Chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Problem solved. But some of you are probably thinking, and if you're not, you probably should be. Some of you are probably thinking, well, that's brilliant. One day this rotten, fallen flesh will be gone. The Spirit will live on forever, clothed in a new, perfect, sinless body. And then I'll not just be forgiven, then I'll be perfectly righteous in every way. Yes, praise the Lord, can't wait. But hey, if Jesus doesn't come back, or if I don't die in my sleep, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I'm still going to have that problem with the flesh. What am I going to do about that? Well, I hope that's what you're thinking, because that's exactly what Paul is going to deal with next. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. This is where he gives us the answer. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Therefore, he says, if these five amazing things are true, brothers and sisters, that's what he's saying. If these five amazing things are true of you, Christian, if you're born again, if God's Holy Spirit lives in you, if you belong to Jesus, if your spirit's going to live forever and you're going to have a new body one day, then he says you don't owe the flesh anything. You're under no obligation to it. You're not a debtor to the flesh. When the flesh tries to impose its self-seeking sinful influence on you, when it tries to pull you into its sinful ways, when it tries to get you to disobey God or go in a direction that God doesn't want you to go, you don't have to do it. You don't have to go along with the flesh because you owe the flesh nothing. Do you ever hear people talking about their sin and saying, I couldn't help it? Something came over me and I couldn't stop myself. The temptation was too strong. Do you ever think to yourself, the desire was too strong, the habit was too powerful, the thoughts wouldn't go away. It was the hormones and I couldn't fight them. Christian, come on. God's Holy Spirit dwells in you and empowers you. You don't ever have to do it. The flesh is very tricky. It might fool you. It might trick you and you might sin. Yeah, you'll do that very often. We all do. There'll be times when the flesh will deceive you so that you sin without making a conscious choice to do it. Lots of times, and it's only afterwards you realize that you have sinned. But when you know it's sin, you can help it. You don't have to do it. You can always say no. Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. So tomorrow morning, when you wake up and the battle with the flesh is still raging, you'll have a choice to make. Flesh or spirit? Am I going to live according to the flesh, or am I going to be led by the Spirit? Am I going to give in to the desires of the flesh, or am I going to follow the leading of the Spirit and resist the flesh and do it God's way? Will I sin or will I not sin? You'll have that choice to make. And to help you with that choice, here's what Paul has to say. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. What do you mean by that, Paul? I will die. Do you mean I could lose my salvation? Not be saved anymore? Well, you know the answer to that one. It's a stupid question. Where have you been all these weeks as we've been working our way through the first 8 chapters of Romans? It's just not possible. Of course you can't lose your salvation. You're born again. You have the Holy Spirit to help you. You belong to Jesus. Your salvation depends on His grace and on what He has done alone. It has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. And Paul's going to say that again later in this chapter. He says, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. He says there, God has chosen you, He's called you, He's forgiven you, and He will finish the job. He is going to glorify you. He is going to take you to heaven. And Paul is so confident of that that he says it as if it's already happened. He has also glorified. If you have been saved, you can't lose it. You'll never die. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Well, then what do you mean by that, Paul? Paul would say in answer to that, if you are saved, just as sure as you will never die, you will not live according to the flesh. As sure as you're saved, you will not live according to the flesh. What he's saying here is that a true Christian, somebody who has really been born again, can't go on sinning. A true Christian can't go on living according to the flesh. It's just not possible. If you're knowingly disobeying God and going on living a sinful life, you should pay attention to this. This is not a new idea. Paul has taught us it already. He's told us that there is no one who is righteous, not one. There's no way any of us can ever be good enough to please God. He's told us that. The only hope any of us have is that the righteousness He gives us covers it. He gives righteousness to those who trust Him. That's our hope. Not that we could ever be good enough to please God, but that God makes us righteous in His eyes. That's what he means when he talks about that righteousness that's by faith alone. And it's all down to God's grace. And that's our only hope. That's what the first 5 chapters of Romans were about. And Paul made that point so clearly and with so much force in those 5 chapters that he went on to ask twice in chapter 6, does that mean that we can go on sinning as much as we like? And he wrote chapter 6 and on into chapter 7 to prove that that idea is totally ridiculous. It's preposterous. He says it's just impossible that you will go on sinning. It's unthinkable. Because you've died to sin. Your relationship with sin is over. You've left it all behind. The power and the grip it has on you is broken. And you've been raised to a new life. You've been set free from slavery to sin and you've become a willing slave to obedience now. Do you know these things? Don't you know who you are as a Christian? It's unthinkable that you would go on sinning if God has caused you to be born again and given you that new heart. Real Christians say no to the flesh. So I guess that means that if you are living according to the flesh, if your decisions are made according to what Paul calls the mind of the flesh, if you follow, if you give in to the desires of the flesh, if your life runs on the principle of keeping the flesh happy, then there's a good reason to ask, are you a Christian at all? That's what it comes down to. There's good reason to think that you're probably not and never were. So, when you wake up tomorrow morning, or even before that, when you wake up at the end of this sermon, when you wake up and the battle with the flesh is still raging, you have choices to make. a lot of choices. All through today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life, you have a lot of choices to make. Flesh or spirit? Am I going to live according to the flesh, or am I going to be led by the spirit? Am I going to give in to the desires of the flesh, or am I going to follow the leading of the spirit and resist the flesh and do it God's way? Am I going to sin, or am I not? And let me make that choice easier for you in the way Paul does, by suggesting that the question you really need to be asking is, am I a Christian, or am I not? Because if you're a Christian, there's no choice for you really, is there? You must choose the way of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, that's what your heart, that's what the new born again you wants to do. Do the right thing. Do what God calls you to do. Be obedient. And you can do it. That's the point Paul is making here. You can do it because you're free to make that choice and you're able to make that choice and you don't owe the flesh anything. And your spirit is indwelt and empowered by God's Holy Spirit. There is nothing that can stop you turning your back on that sin and doing what's right. Nothing at all. You have all the power of God to help you with it. The flesh is constantly pulling. It's strong and it's tricky. It has tricked you in the past and it will do it again. Paul himself said, "The good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice." I don't want to sin. I want to live for God. I want to glorify Him. I want to be good. I want to be righteous. But oh, I keep getting it wrong. I keep doing sinful things. That's just everyday reality for every Christian. And it's going to be until the flesh and the spirit are ripped apart. That's what death is. But the flesh is not an excuse to go on indulging your favorite sins. You're not helpless against the flesh. Far from it. Romans 6, "Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been free from sin." Romans 6 again, "Sin shall not have power over you." Again later in Romans 6, "Having been set free from sin, you became slaves to righteousness." And Romans 8, verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." And back to Romans 6 again, "Reckon yourself to be dead to sin indeed." Get rid of the defeatist attitude. You're not a slave to sin. You don't have to go on doing the same sins again and again. That's a lie that the devil wants you to believe. Now, before we finish, I think and I fear I might be leaving some of you with some serious doubts, and I want to make sure I'm not. I fear that some of you might be thinking, "Oh, Pastor, oh, Stephen, I give in to the flesh so often. I look back at times and I just see a whole trail of sin behind me, times that I've let God down, and I see myself doing the same sin again and again and again, giving into it, maybe days or weeks or months on end when I have been led by the flesh. Stephen, are you saying I'm not saved?" Well, there are two things that I would say to you if that's what you're thinking. The first is from 1 John chapter 1, where John reminds us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God is very gracious. There's no such thing as a sin that God can't forgive, and there's no such thing as a sin that God won't forgive if we come and confess our sins to Him and ask Him for that forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's true to His word, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, wipe us clean, make us sparkly, bright, shiny white. Sin gone, never to be remembered again. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is very gracious. That's the first thing. But don't make that an excuse to carry on the way you're going. So the second thing that I want to say to you, if you look back and see that trail of sins behind you, comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure." If you look back and you see a whole lot of sin there, so much that you're thinking to yourself, am I saved at all? How can I be sure? Well, Peter would say to you, get to work. Be diligent and make sure. That's what to do. Be diligent to make your call and election sure. Now, those efforts that you make to overcome the flesh, those efforts that you make to overcome sin, aren't going to save you. You'll not be any more one bit saved because of the effort that you make. But if you are diligent to say no to sin, then you're going to be able to look and say, yeah, the evidence is there. I said no to it. I didn't do it. I love the Lord so much that I went His way. Yeah, it cost me. There were things that I had to give up. There were people that I had to leave behind. There were things that I enjoyed that I couldn't do. And I did it, yes. And that proves to me that I've got that newborn again heart. That reassures me. God is at work overcoming the flesh. And that's what Paul was talking about when he wrote in Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work within you to will and to do His good pleasure. Do you have reason to doubt that you're the real thing? Well then, get to war on the flesh. Fight it, fight it, fight it. Kill its wicked desires. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you do that? How do you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body and live? Well, you're going to have to come back next week to find the answer to that, because I've run out of time for now. But that's where Paul is taking us, and that's what we want to think about. So here's your takeaway question for this week. I've been sending you away with a question to think about each of these past few weeks that we've been looking at Romans, and I hope you've been giving them a lot of thought. The first one was to ask yourself, are you changing? And how important is the changing? Are you more like Jesus now than you were this time last year? 10 years ago, when you were first saved? I hope you can say yes. Are you changed, and how important is the changing? The second one, what's your mindset? Are you being careful to maintain the mindset of the Spirit? Do you think like a Christian? The things that are important to you, the things that you value, the things that you look forward to, are they things that a Christian ought to consider important and look forward to? And the last one I asked you to take away was, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God's Holy Spirit lives in you. The Spirit who has all the power that created the universe out of nothing. Boom, just like that. Wow. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So this week, in preparation for next week, here's the question I want to think about you. How serious are you about being done with sin? How serious are you about being done with sin? Is it really life and death for you? Because that's what Paul says here. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. It's life and death. It is. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Perhaps what we've heard today hasn't been pleasant, hasn't been easy, but it is your word and it's true. And we pray that you would cause it to burn in our hearts until we are convinced and sure and really deal with this sin thing once and for all, realizing that we are not debtors to the flesh. We don't owe it anything, but oh, how we do owe everything to the Lord Jesus.